Amazing. Thanks, Brianna. Thanks, Eddie. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, everybody. It's good to be back together. Thank you for coming this morning. I had a little moment where I was worried nobody would come because, you know, it's not, the schools are not back yet. Schools are going back this week, aren't they? And I don't know about you, but, you know, maybe you've been tidying up Christmas or putting off tidying up Christmas or trying to work out what you're keeping out, what you're putting away. Maybe you're just a bit knackered after the time with family, time traveling. Maybe you've been on cars or trains or whatever, going here, there and everywhere. And on a Sunday morning, when you don't actually have to get up to go to school or to work, I'm really grateful that you did. Thank you. You've made my morning. I wonder if any of the youth or children would like to come and join me at the front. I do need to ask you some questions. So if you're up for coming down here, that'd be great. Brilliant. Thanks, Stephen, for leading the way with Phoebe and Toby. Now, first question. I am going to need some teenagers for this because I'm going to reveal my ignorance and they're going to set me right. What I want to know is, did anybody make a New Year's resolution? Because it's the first Sunday of 2024. And I don't know about you. I should have said, by the way, if I've not met you before, my name's Graham and I'm the vicar. And it's great to have you with us today. Did anybody make a New Year's resolution? Anyone down here at the front make a New Year's resolution? Something that you're determined to do in 2024? Have they gone out of vogue? Resolutions. Okay, Destiny's got one. Great.
Learn a new language.
Wow, learn a new language. That's a great resolution. It's an ambitious one. Has anyone else started a subscription to Duolingo? Is it Duolingo or Duolinga? Is that what you're doing? Duolingo. I have to say, it's not a resolution for me, but I did think about downloading Duolingo the other day because we're hoping to go on holiday to Italy this year. And the only line of Italian that I know is inappropriate because it's actually a chat-up line that I was taught many, many years ago. So I need to learn a little bit more than just how to flirt in Italian, especially when I'm on holiday with my wife and kids. Did anybody else make a resolution? Adults? Yes, Sue, I'm coming around to you. It's like challenge Annika. Thank you.
It's not very wonderful, but I've decided I'm going to try and draw something every day.
That's a great resolution. Bring out the creativity and the inner artist. Anybody else make a New Year's resolution? No? Yes. Olivette's got one. Great.
To stay well. Healthy. Without health, what matters?
Okay, to stay well and to stay healthy. That's a great one as well. Last call to share your... This is like the Christmas Day service where we, like, share our gifts, isn't it? Monley's got one.
Mine was to be intentional.
Be intentional. That's right. So really thinking about how we use every moment of our day. Okay, we've got one more. Will's going to have the final word. Go for it, Will.
We're one cross at a time. One cross at a time.
One cross at a time. That's a really good resolution for you, Will. Great. Now, the reason that we often make resolutions in the new year is because we, at the hinge of the year, when the old year wanes and the new year begins, we often like to think a little bit about how we live. It's always a reflective time, isn't it? Slightly reflective time. Taking stock, looking back over the last year. I don't know how your 2023 was. Mine was pretty hard, if I'm honest. It was tiring. It was a bit of a struggle. So I was quite pleased to see 2023 go, and I'm feeling a bit more hopeful about 2024. But in that moment where we're thinking about the last year and about the year to come and we're taking stock of our lives, that's often when people like to make resolutions because they start thinking about what they're going to do, what they're going to prioritize, how they're going to live. And that question of how we're going to live is really what I want to think about today. Because, you know, at the beginning of a new year, it is a live question for us. Given that you've come here to church on a Sunday morning, preferring the company of one another and maybe strangers and friends to your bed, I think many of you are thinking, how can I live maybe as a Christian? Or at least maybe you might be thinking, I'm not sure if I am a Christian, but I'm intrigued and curious about Jesus and the way of life that Christians follow. And I'd like to find out more this year. I'd like to think a bit more about how I can live as a Christian this year, or whether I will be a Christian. And so the reading we just heard is all about Jesus' call to his followers to follow him and how they should live. I want to know, who are your top influencers? So, and I had a little look up, so I'm going to see whether I get some names on the list here. But who influences you? Who do you follow? Youth, young people, tell me some of the top internet influencers that I will never have heard of. All right, let's have some more. Okay.
Zendaya.
I've heard of her. Zendaya. She was in Greatest Showman, right? Rewrite the Stars. Yeah, right. Me. Other influencers, top internet influencers. Who influences you? Who do you follow on YouTube or TikTok? Seth, do you want to shout one from the back? You must have somebody. No. Okay, I'm going to read you some names. So anybody who's not Gen Z will never have heard of any of these people. If you're Boomer, Gen X, Millennial, good luck with this bit. Hold on, this is from Hootsuite. Right, see if you can tell me about these people. KB Lame. Carby. Okay, I said it wrong to start with, but that's fine because I'm not young, so that's all right. Okay, Carby Lame. What's Carby Lame known for? Comedian on TikTok. Okay, TikTok comedian. Hands up if you've heard of Carby Lame. Only the young people. Yes. And Raymond. Yes, go Raymond. Good job. Good. Thank you. So good. Okay, Huda Beauty. Huda Beauty. Yes, a few people know Huda Beauty. What's Huda Beauty famous for? Makeup on YouTube, right? Yeah, okay. Number of followers, 51.9 million. I should have said, Carby Lame. Any guess how many followers? 80 million. I'll share this on next month's newsletter so you can go and look them up. No, I won't. Forgive me if I'm saying these wrong. Lily Pons.
Oh, my gosh!
Lily Pons. How many followers? 50.5 million. What's Lily Pons famous for? Kind of YouTuber, entertainment, yeah, comedian. Got her start? Got her start on Vine. Who remembers Vine? Anyone still got a Vine account? I've got a Vine account somewhere. Charli D'Amelio. Okay, Chloe likes Charli D'Amelio, apparently. Because they both liked it. Okay. Chiara Ferragni. Fashion, blogging, 28.4 million followers. I mean, it's a great, isn't it, revealing our collective ignorance about the internet. Never heard of any of these. I'm going to see if I can find anybody I've heard of. No. Yes, in at number 10, somebody I've heard of, Mr. Beast. Yeah. with a mere 22.7 million followers. Oh, ask my kids. Yeah, Otis will sort you out. He'll fix you up. Here's the point. We live in a world where internet influencers are everywhere, and they're influencing culture, they're influencing young people, they're influencing how people grow up. If you're my age, maybe there might have been pop stars or movie stars or other celebrities, but there was nothing like the phenomenon of internet influencers that we have today. And somebody who influences you is somebody who affects the way that you live. You might follow their ideas, you might follow their lifestyle, you might take tips from them, you might model yourself upon them, you might glean attitudes from them. And this could be really positive, there might be lots of positive influences around there, but it can also be really negative. There can be things which are harmful. Tonight at 9 o'clock, if you're in and you fancy some light entertainment, there's a documentary about Andrew Tate on television. You know, somebody who is the most, Andrew Tate, I read in the newspaper, is the most Googled name that there is. More internet searches for Andrew Tate, for that name, than any other person, any other name. Isn't that extraordinary? We live in a very peculiar age. Somebody who influences you will affect the way that you live. If we are going to be Christians, or we'd like to become Christians, then we need to be following Jesus and allowing him to influence our life. So let's have a quick game of Simon Says. Would you like to stand up? You all know how this works. All the kids and young people know how it works, but Simon Says, happily, has not changed in about 50 or 60 years, so it's still exactly the same game that most of us would have played at one time or another. So this is a moment, just in case, you know, this is completely foreign to you, I'm going to give some instructions, and if I say the word, if I say Simon Says in front of it, please follow the instruction. If I don't say Simon Says, don't follow the instruction. Simon Says, touch your head. That was easy. That's easy to get us warmed up. Simon Says, pat your tummy. All that Christmas food. Simon Says, touch your head. Simon Says, pat your tummy. Simon Says, sit down. Simon Says, touch your head. Pat your tummy. Ooh, few people went for it. Stand up. Simon Says, stand up. Simon Says, pat your tummy. Simon Says, turn around. Simon Says, turn around. Turn around. Stand on one leg. Ooh. I saw that. Simon Says, stand on one leg. Simon Says, shake your neighbor's hand while standing on one leg. Simon Says, put your other leg down. I don't know what other leg down means, actually. My other leg was down. Simon, forget that bit. Touch your head. Ooh. Simon Says, pat your tummy. Christmas food. Simon Says, tap your head. Sit down. I saw Elias. Okay, Simon Says, sit down. And we'll watch a little video about Jesus' followers.
Jesus had 12 disciples. Now, all of them were very different from each other. So let's have a look. To start with, there was Peter and Andrew. Now, they were brothers. And then there was James and John. They were also brothers. And all four of them were fishermen. Next, there was a man named Nathanael. Now, Nathanael was of noble birth, which meant he was very rich. Then, there was a man named Matthew. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. Now, lots of people didn't really like tax collectors because they were the ones that took all your money. Up next, we have a man named Simon the Zealot. Now, there has been some confusion around Simon. Some people think that he may have been a member of a rebellious group protesting against the Romans. Other people think that he may have been zealous about the law. That means he was passionate about it. Or some people think that he was zealous about God. Either way, he was a very passionate man. Now, there were some men that we don't actually know what they did before they met Jesus, like Thomas and Philip. And finally, there was Jude, Judas, and James. Now, these last five, we don't really know what they did before they met Jesus, but nevertheless, they were all equally respected and loved by Jesus. Now, they might not have always fit in, and they might look like a bit of a random group of people, but Jesus picked them for a very special reason. They all had a very important role to play in Jesus' life.
One of my favourite things about reading about the life of the disciples in the Bible is, just like it said in the video, how random in a selection they were. You know, you had people who were really passionate about liberation from the Romans and would have gotten swords and weapons and been up for a fight to do it. And you had others who were really passionate about retreating into the desert and just reading the scriptures and praying and being pacifists. You had some who were kind of jobbing fishermen and others who were collecting taxes. An extraordinary bunch of people. And one of the things I always think is wonderful to look at in a local church is to look around and see how unlikely a gathering of people is this. How unlikely a gathering of of people are in our church family. Because in a sense, the more unlikely it is, the more it starts to look like Jesus might have chosen you and you and you and me and all of us from wherever we come from for lots of different reasons. But he loves each of us individually and has a plan and a purpose for each of us. So in the Bible reading that Ede and Brianna read for us, it talked about Jesus's followers, and that's in the International Children's Bible translation. But the word we're more familiar with is Jesus's disciples, but that's not a word that we use very much in everyday language. So what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is like a student or a pupil. Anybody here describe themselves as a student or a pupil? Yeah, some students at university, some pupils in school. So we know when we think about being a student or a pupil that it has something to do with learning, don't we? But a disciple was not a student or a pupil in the way that we might have students or pupils today, because they didn't just go to school Monday to Friday, 8:30 till 3:30. They lived with Jesus. They spent their whole lives with him. They traveled with him. Imagine if you went with your maths teacher to their Christmas lunch. Yeah, I know, right? That's a crazy thought. Imagine if, you know, your physics teacher was going on holiday in the summer and you just went with them. It's a bit weird, right? There'd probably be like investigations. So a disciple is like a student, but not quite like the way we think of students. A disciple is a follower. That's what the International Children's Bible translates that word as, a follower. Somebody who is walking in the way of their leader. Somebody coming under the influence. We talked about influences, didn't we? Someone who's coming under the influence of their leader. But I think perhaps the best word we can use to think about what a disciple is the word apprentice. Because nowadays, if you want to become an apprentice, it means that you want to learn a skill, a craft, a trade. There's some knowledge about your way of life, about how your apprenticeship is usually about going into a career, a vocation, a calling. So being apprentices, spending time with Jesus, learning not just from what he says, but learning by watching what he does and by copying and by imitating and then being coached and corrected and taught. Some of Jesus's first followers, the ones we heard about in the video, they started following him just because Jesus asked them to. They didn't really know who he was. It's just that he came and he said to them, come and follow me. And something about Jesus meant that they did. I can't imagine anybody that I would meet now in everyday life who would just say, come and follow me, and I would drop everything and leave my job and my family and go off and follow them. I can't imagine meeting anybody like that. But these first disciples, some of them did just that. Matthew just left his business, his industry. Peter, the fishermen, they just left. They didn't even realize exactly who he is until the moment that we heard about just now, when Jesus asked them, who do people say I am? And some said he was the prophet Elijah, come back. Some said maybe he was John the Baptist. People knew about John the Baptist. He'd been put to death, but maybe people thought Jesus was somehow embodying John. But Jesus said to them more specifically, who do you say? Not just who do people say I am, but who do you say? And that's a question that confronts all of us at some point. Not who did the vicar say Jesus is? Not who does St. John's Church say Jesus is? But who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? And Peter responds by saying, you are the Messiah. And in saying this, he's using a sort of job title. He's like saying, you are the fisherman, or you are the IT consultant, or you are the engineer. You are the Messiah. The Messiah was the expected anointed one who would deliver and save God's people. That was the role that the Messiah was to perform. They were promised by God to save and deliver his people. And Peter was saying, you're the one. It's you. Jesus then goes on to tell them a little bit about what will be involved in following him. And this is really what I want us to think about today. Let me read that a little bit for you again. Brianna read it earlier. It said, then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his followers. So his disciples, all the followers, all the people who were following him, but also others listening. And he said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must say no to the things he wants. He must be willing to die on a cross and he must follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will give up true life. But whoever gives up his life for me and for the good news will have true life forever. Now, that's a really weird thing for Jesus to say. It's a really challenging call. He's saying that the call to follow me is total. It covers every area of your lives. It's not just about what you do on a Sunday morning. It's about what you do on a Monday morning and a Tuesday morning. It's about not just what you say to people, but it's about what you do practically. What you do with your money, what you do with your time, your attitude, your responses. And he says that to follow Jesus, we're going to have to sacrifice even our own desires, our desires for comfort, for status, for success, for significance. There might be all kinds of things that we desire in life. We might watch one of those influencers whose names I can't pronounce correctly, and we might desire popularity like them or wealth like them. But Jesus says you're going to have to sacrifice those desires. You might even need to be willing to die. Now, let's just acknowledge that in our assembly here, in our room, in this church building now, many of us who were born and raised in this country have not had to face death for being a Christian. But there are some in this room who have. There are some in this room who were born and raised in countries where it was illegal to be a Christian, where to be a Christian and to follow Jesus could mean imprisonment, it could mean persecution, it could even mean execution. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Jesus says, do you love me so much that you might even be willing to die for the sake of bearing my name? The famous German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, when Christ bids a man come and follow him, he bids him come and die. I hope and pray that none of us will ever have to face our literal death for the sake of following Jesus, but we might have to be willing to die to our own freedoms and choices. Most of all, our willingness to obey Jesus' teaching is about giving up our freedom to choose. We all like to choose all the time, what we wear, what we eat, how we spend our time, how we spend our money. Jesus says, if you follow me, you've got to give up your freedom to choose. You've got to be willing to obey. You've got to be willing to listen and to do what I ask you to do. And that might mean that some of the comforts that we prefer, some of the preferences we have, some of our own selfish desires will have to be sacrificed. But we can trust that Jesus is a good master, a good leader. And when we obey him and when we follow him, he will lead us into things which are good for us and for everybody. So listen, I just want to finish with this. I want to ask you this question. How do we know how Jesus wants us to live? How do we know how Jesus wants us to live? If we're going to follow Jesus, if he's going to be our number one influencer, how do we know how he wants us to live? Any ideas? Who's got an idea of how we might learn how Jesus wants us to live? Have you got an idea, Toby? No. Anybody got any ideas? How can we know how Jesus wants us to live? Yeah, Chloe. What do you think?
By reading the Bible.
Hey, brilliant. Yeah, read the Bible. Because that's where God speaks to us and teaches us and instructs us on how to live. It's not always simple reading the Bible because some of the stuff in the Bible is really confusing and really difficult, but we learn about God's character and about God's promises and about God's heart for his people through reading the Bible. So learning to read the Bible, how else might we learn how Jesus wants us to live? Any other ideas? Grown-ups? Adults? Oliver? Yeah, praying, spending time with Jesus, getting to know him. I mean, it's always a sobering thought, isn't it? This is a terrible moment at the beginning of the new year when we try to think, you know, has anyone got screen time set up on their phone? You know, and you find out how many hours a day did you spend with your TikTok influencers or your YouTube influencers, as opposed to how many hours a day you spent just with Jesus in prayer or Bible study. Sobering for me, what influences me more, the Guardian app or the Bible app, right? Genuine question, got to be asked, got to think about it. How else can we learn how Jesus wants us to live? Will?
Watch it,
learning from others. So Christian teaching on TV channels or podcasts or radios, yeah. Anything else, any other things we can do? Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, loving God and loving our neighbor. And that means being together. So learning from one another. You've nailed it. You've got all the things I'd written down. Read the Bible, pray and speak with Jesus, belong in fellowship, come to church, spend time with other Christians. Spend time with other Christians to get to know what Jesus is like and learn together. So You know, I'm not really one for New Year's resolutions because I tend to break them very quickly and then just feel a bit guilty about it. But I think to resolve to keep on going in faith, to keep on going in reading the Bible, to keep on going in prayer, to keep on going in Christian fellowship, that's a resolution well worth making and one that I think we can achieve together and we can encourage one another onto. I actually opened the Bible app this morning, and some of you also will do this, I'm sure, open up the verse of the day. And the verse of the day is Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. It says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." How can we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The beginning of every year, I love to pray a prayer that was, it's actually from the Methodist Church. It's called the Methodist Covenant Prayer. And I think it's a wonderful prayer to use at the beginning of the year to commit ourselves to meeting with one another, to following Jesus wholeheartedly. So the words are going to come up on the screen, and I'd like to invite you to stand if you're able to and join me in the words of the Methodist Covenant Prayer. We say together, "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will, rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen." Father God, we thank you that you have called us to follow you through Jesus. Give us your Holy Spirit, we pray, to guide our hearts and our minds and to help us become obedient to Jesus. And may 2024 be a year in which we experience life in all its fullness as we follow Christ. Amen.